everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
That's right. Good to see you again, Dr. Linda. I've got a question for you. What would your day be like if everyone at work said, that Dr. Linda is the best person to be with at work? I love working with her. How would your day go?
Well, first, you're assuming that people don't say that.
Maybe they do say that.
I don't know that anyone's ever said that to me, but it would be great, don't you think, if people felt that way about you at work? I think most of us want to be liked at our workplace. In fact, being likable on the job can really take you far and make your workplace enjoyable.
That's right. And we've all had our share of that difficult coworker, the mean boss, or even the clueless supervisors. And unlikable people make work just simply unpleasant. Most of us don't want to be around unlikable people. We might even avoid them. That said, I would think that there are a number of benefits to being liked at work other than people just not avoiding you.
Yeah, there are a few more than just people leaving you alone. Bosses generally promote people they like, Chris, and likable people are given more opportunities on the job. Workers tend to follow leaders they like without a lot of complaining. And being likable also gives you a real competitive edge when it comes to interviewing and getting jobs. I know I look for that when I'm interviewing somebody. I think, is this a likable person? Do I really want to be around them every day?
Right. Well, today we're going to discuss 10 characteristics of likable people and those people you like and want to work with on the job. And let's begin with an obvious characteristic, the one that goes a long way, and that is having a positive attitude.
Well, it's easy to have a positive attitude when things are going well at work. But when it's more difficult, it's harder to stay positive and optimistic. And I think a lot of people, that's when you really see their true character. So I admit this is one I have to work on because I can easily get into that complaining mode and be drawn into the negativity. But people are drawn at work to that positive person, that person who stays encouraging, the person who says, you know, it's okay, we're going to get through this, and kind of encourages you along the way. So if you want to be more likable at work, one of the things you can do is work on that positivity and begin to see the glass half full rather than always half empty.
Well, if someone is thinking, well, that's not me, what can a person do to turn that around?
Well, when you start to go negative, try to think about something good that has happened recently, something that might be similar to what's happening now, but maybe a time when you turned that around or you were able to solve a problem. Maybe you got past a really difficult hurdle, or you made a tough deadline, or you encouraged your coworker. Just try to think about a success story at work, or take and view the problem as a real challenge instead of as a negative thing. We all have success stories, but I think we tend to dwell on the negative. Yet if we think about the positive moments at our job, this begins to change our mood. So the more you do this, the better you get at it, and eventually you're going to begin to turn that negativity to something more positive.
It's really being aware of our negative thinking and then choosing to be positive. In fact, Scripture tells us to think of things of good report. This is actually a biblical idea, not simply just positive thinking.
Well, God knows our tendency to go negative. He designed us. And so he knows that we have to do something with our mind to actually focus ourselves on something more positive. So he's being very prescriptive with us in the Bible, telling us to focus our mind on blessings and on gratitude and on positive things in our lives. He knows that that will impact our mood as well. So negative thinking is a learned habit. For example, have you ever heard of a birth announcement that says, Mary and Bill Jones had a beautiful negative baby?
The baby is just so negative.
Right. So we obviously start out with great hope and a positive view of life and people. But what happens over time, due to a lot of disappointments, due to conflicts, due to problems that we have with other people, we learn negativity. But negativity can be unlearned.
And negativity on the job does more than just ruin the mood. It also affects our creativity.
That's right. It's scientifically proven that all that stinking thinking decreases our creativity, and it hampers our ability to solve issues. Because the more you think negative, I mean, just this is kind of common sense, but we don't really stop and think about it, the more upset you get emotionally, and it refocuses your brain again on the problem. I once heard a saying, the more you stir it, the more it stinks.
I've said that about some cooking.
I don't think that was a literal cooking metaphor, but it does kind of make sense, doesn't it? So right. The more you stir that negativity, the more negative you're going to be.
You have another benefit to being positive on the job, or really in all relationships for that matter.
Yeah, so positive people view most setbacks as something caused by an external force. So a lot of times what you'll do if you're more positive is you'll think, okay, that's what happened. It's a challenge. It's something that I can fix. It's something that can be changed. I can address this. Whereas negative people tend to think setbacks are somehow self-inflicted, they're deserved, or there's some kind of a permanent wound that they can't get past. So if you think about problems more externally, then you're going to solve them and you're going to keep that positivity up. So here's a challenge, or maybe you can think of this as a goal. Try to be positive for 30 days on the job. Think about it and act upon it. Can you imagine how powerful this one little change might make in your life at work?
So determine to change your negativity to positivity this year and see how more people at the office or in your personal life will respond to you in a more positive way. Now, here's a characteristic that's easy to take on and makes a big difference in your likability. It's having manners, grooming, and using appropriate language. It's everything mom and dad should have taught us, for that matter, and good manners shouldn't be really outdated.
We're really being uncivil with each other.
Right.
So I really agree with you. People with good manners are likable. Say please, say thank you, you know, write a prompt thank you if right. somebody does something for you. Okay, here's one. Take your ball cap off indoors. It bothers me. I don't know. People wear them indoors. Maybe that's a fashion statement now, and I just need to get with the program here.
It seems rude still to me.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of the way I was trained, but yeah. Use the right utensils when you go to lunch. Say, excuse me, open doors, and let others go first. Better yet, if you're not really sure and you weren't trained well, buy a manners book and work hard on improving your manners if that's an issue for you, because honestly, that sounds like such a petty little thing, but we're talking, Chris, about these characteristics that make you more likable to other people, and that's definitely one.
Right. Some people simply have poor grooming skills. I don't know if people are aware of how important this actually is.
I know. It's basic, but it's important, like you just said. So wear clean clothes. I mean, I sound like I'm talking to my children, but I'm amazed sometimes with millennials that I see on the job, and I'm having to go over these kind of things with them, which is why we're talking about them. You know, take a shower, bathe daily, don't overdo the cologne, brush your teeth, and if you choose not to do any of these things, boy, watch how people are going to really avoid you.
So that's how you can keep people away as
well. That's how you keep people away. Not a plan you want. But again, somebody might be listening going, good grief, these people are like talking, you know, grade school stuff. But I'm surprised at how these kinds of things get in the way of people being liked at work.
So manners, good grooming. And what about language? That can be a real turnoff to a lot of people.
Yeah, especially if you tell questionable jokes or you make fun of others or you're insensitive to other people. Personally, I like people who have good language skills, and it's not really about using proper grammar. I find myself avoiding people who use toxic language. People who swear excessively, that's a real turnoff for me. I just don't like to hear swearing. I'm thinking, we have a good English language. There's lots of other words you could use. People who show a temper. And then there's the people who gossip. If you're a gossiper, just be aware that people will eventually migrate away from you if you talk about others. The reasoning goes, if you get around to me, you're going to gossip about me eventually.
Right, yeah.
And that we don't like.
Right. And before we go to the break, I'm going to guess that humor makes the list of characteristics that makes a person more likable at work. But it has to be the right kind of humor. It's like we just talked about, not off-color jokes or humor that makes people uncomfortable.
Especially in today's climate. I think people need to be very, very careful. We've had all these cases of sexual harassment and problems. So we need to look at that. And we need to laugh. We all love to laugh. Laughter is a great stress reducer as well. Those people who make us laugh are the ones we want to hang out with usually, and we want to be around. So laughter lightens up the seriousness of the workplace.
We need to take a quick break, but stay with us as we continue our conversation on 10 characteristics of likable people.
Hey, it's Dr. Linda Mental from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show. Join the conversation for our shows by commenting on questions and show topics posted on social media. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on my show, and leave your comments in the comment box. or click on one of the social media icons and leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. We need to talk.
Here we go again.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong.
This is going to be a long night.
Oh, no, not again.
What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, we need to talk, puts most of us on the defensive. We need to talk takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind we need to talk is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mintel's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com, drlindahelps.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and we encourage you to connect with Dr. Linda on social media. Follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps and on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mintel, author and speaker, and on Instagram at Dr. Linda Mintel. We are talking today about characteristics that make us more likable at work and in life. Another characteristic of a likable coworker is someone who assumes goodwill in others.
We should always assume goodwill in other people. Instead of jumping on some out-of-control, negative, ain't-they-awful bandwagon, which I have to admit, again, I tend to do that. You know, if you give them the benefit of the doubt, if you assume goodwill, this works in almost all situations. So if you're thinking negative thoughts about someone's actions, let your first thought instead be to assume goodwill on their part.
Well, how about the worker who gives sincere compliments to others? I would think that's a likable trait.
It is. It's really interesting, Chris, because the research says that even if you give an insincere compliment to someone at the workplace, they still like you. I think the thing is, Chris, there's just so many people who never get told that they're doing a good job or that they're appreciated for something they're doing.
Right.
So compliments do the job when it comes to increasing your likability. Other compliment-rich areas could include anything about their kids, their thoughtfulness, their thinking process, their department, their team, their company, their skills, even their voice.
Wow.
Do people compliment you on your radio voice?
Oh, once in a while.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you want to be around that person.
Makes me want to do another show.
There you go, and we'll continue to do that.
That's right. Well, this next characteristic of likable people is a tough one. It's control your insecurities.
Yeah, so admittedly, we all have a bit of insecurity. It's really normal and natural. But communicating your insecurity often is a turnoff for people at work. To make yourself more likable, try not to communicate your insecurity. Now, notice I'm saying communicate. I'm not saying you have to get rid of all your insecurity. But I'm saying try not to communicate that. If you can find somebody at work who's close to you, who understands your moody comments and will help assure you when you're insecure, that's one thing. But going to your coworkers and allowing them to hear all these insecurities is probably not going to work so well, and it's in most cases a turnoff for people.
Okay, I'll make a note of that one. I think we all know that listening skills are important in all relationships, and work is no exception, and it's one of those likability characteristics.
Yeah, a good listener is liked by coworkers.
What did you say again? I'm sorry.
A good listener. Hello. Yeah. So to make yourself a better listener, listen, acknowledge, and add something of value. So I'm going to kind of explain that. Don't listen, first of all, with a vacant look in your eyes. Have you ever seen that? People are looking at you. Rather, acknowledge what's being said. This is more than, Say something back, and that lets the person know you are actually listening and thinking. So the more confident you get and the better you listen, you will find you are worrying less about what you will say, and you will listen harder to what the other person is saying. When you acknowledge the other person and what they are saying, then you become more likable. If you add something, as long as it's relevant to the topic. So by training yourself to listen and acknowledge and then add value, that's the sequence, listen, acknowledge, and then add some value, you'll be a better listener than 90% of all adults.
Wow.
People just like good listeners.
And people also like workers who are flexible. Now, I'm not talking about being able to do a split in the Pilates and all of that stuff, but it's people who are willing to do something that needs to get done or they'll step out of the box to do it.
That's true. Flexibility also includes considering other people's viewpoints and being willing to try new things. You know, there are some people that won't even try a new restaurant or a new food or a type of entertainment. So, for instance, maybe you don't like operatic music on the radio, but if a coworker invited you to attend the opera, I say a flexible person would go and give it a try. Mm-hmm. Now, you may decide you don't like it,
right?
But at least you're trying and you're considering other opinions. The more you're willing to accept change and are viewed as a flexible and an adaptable person at your workplace, the more people are going to want to be around you.
Well, Dr. Linda, before we go to the break, I want to ask a question about one that we just discussed a minute ago. What would a person who talks about their insecurities too often, what would they sound like?
You know, you would say something like, you know, I don't know if I can do this job. It seems like it's too hard. I'm having trouble really understanding what the boss wants from me. You know, this constant kind of complaining, being unsure of what you're trying to do, that kind of thing.
Well, we've got 8 of the 10 characteristics of a likable person covered, but the last two are probably the most important. Stay with us here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
The other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. A reminder to check out Dr. Linda's blogs and website, drlindamental.com. And for those of you looking for a good book on conflict, We Need to Talk is available online. Or if worry is your thing, Letting Go of Worry is another one of Dr. Linda's 19 book titles. Now, we have two more characteristics of likable people to talk about, and these two really make a difference. It's not only how much we like someone, but how much we enjoy this person's company.
People like those people who are engaged and passionate about life. You know those people, the ones that have the sparkle in their eye when they talk about what they do. The more passionate you are, the better. Just don't go overboard with it,
right?
Because then people might not like you if you're too passionate, I guess.
Well, passion is an attractive quality in a person, and it draws you to them.
It's not that difficult to find passion. You can have passion about your kids, your hobbies, your convictions. The more engaged you are in life, Chris, the more interesting you are, and the more people want to be around you.
I bet some people are thinking that passion is good, but they don't have passion in their job.
So if you're one of those people who keep looking for that one job where you can somehow find passion, you might be wasting your time. Every job deserves your passion. You know, I believe that every job has something about it that should make you proud of the job or proud of the company or even proud of the part that you play in that company. Sometimes it takes a willingness to commit to showing passion before you actually feel passion.
Right. This is a good example of a story that I found recently. The person writes, "Once at a family gathering, I asked a younger relative about his job. Talk about showing passion. He said, 'Can I tell you why I have the most exciting job in the world?' He worked at a feedlot, by the way, and literally shoveled manure all day long. He loved what he did, and more importantly, he was unconcerned about how others saw his job."
That's a great story. Yeah. So that reminds me of the show The Dirty Jobs. Did you ever watch that?
Yes.
You did watch that? I only saw it once.
Right, lots of fun.
And it was a really awful job. I kind of was, my stomach was kind of rolling when I was watching what he was doing because it was one of those sewage things that he was in. Yeah. It was disgusting. But my husband, who's the executive producer of the new Huckabee show on TBN, little promo there for that show, he had Mike Rowe of the Dirty Jobs show on a recent show, and he was talking about how we find passion in jobs. From Mike Rowe, he had this great story. It was so heartwarming. It was so wonderful. And by the way, he is going to do a new show on TBN called Somebody's Got to Do It. It sounds like that. It's a lot like his old show. It pays homage to the hardworking Americans who live their lives with a blend of passion and humor and kindness and curiosity, kind of like what he was doing before.
Right. Well, Mike Rowe, who you were talking about, highlights people who are garbage collectors, sewage cleaners, pig farmers, hazardous material removers, and other jobs as well. Most people would not get too excited about these jobs that we're talking about. He once did a show about a man in his 80s who's a pig farmer that lives near Las Vegas. The guy feeds pigs human food. Okay, he goes down into town and collects the thrown away food from the hotel buffets, boils it down to a slop, and feeds his pigs that food.
Wow, they're eating well.
Yeah, they eat very well. This guy is committed, he's passionate, and he loves what he does. And Mike commented that the pig farm stinks to high heaven, but the man loves his work.
And Mike remembered him. When he was asked, like, who do you remember? He said he had so much passion for what he was doing. He was just so into this job. And that is something that draws you to a person. So passion about anything that you have is a people magnet.
Right.
And I think he remembers that pig farmer because that guy was so committed to what he did. You want to be around people who can find that kind of dirty job, an exciting job, right?
Right.
I mean, anything that somebody is doing that has that much excitement to it is going to draw you and make you want to be with them. So instead of always searching for that one job that you think is going to be the most stimulating, the thing that's going to give you passion, you give passion, you don't take it. And I think that pig farmer was a real good example of that.
I think a lot of people may like what they do, but they don't have that passion that we're talking about.
Yeah, it could be because we think, again, that there's this ideal job out there that somehow will create passion in us. We just have to find it. But I think chances are the one job that exists that you think is going to be so wonderful really doesn't exist. So rather, you find a way to ignite the passion for that job, if it's possible. I mean, I know not everybody's they can't find a way to make something that they're doing really exciting, but you can find parts of it that might ignite some kind of passion in you. It's a matter, really, Chris, we're talking about shifting your perspective. So here are a few ideas. Maybe keep a notebook and start writing down things you enjoy about your job, things that you're grateful for, coworkers that you like, and then do something every day to help accomplish a goal that you might set. Again, rather than reinforcing the negative story about your job, create a new, more positive focus, and maybe that will start to ignite some passion and give you more energy.
Today, as we talk about being more likable at work, we've talked about passion for your job. Is it tied to purpose?
You know, that's a really good question. I think people of faith, both of us are people of faith, we believe that God has something for us and he's working in our lives at all times, and that we can find purpose even in the most mundane things. Maybe God is preparing you at a mundane time in your life in a job that isn't so exciting, but maybe he's using that for a future time. Or maybe that just the time isn't right to move you to the next thing because you're not ready for that. I remember when my husband was waiting for me to finish grad school and he couldn't find a job in his field because we were living in a small town and there were no openings in his field, which was television. Mm-hmm. So we had to pay our bills.
Right.
And so with a master's degree, he worked at a Kmart loading on the dock.
Really?
Yes. And he did it with vigor. And years later, when he became a television executive, he was in charge of a department in which those inventory and shipping skills became useful to him. And we laughed about that job. We thought, God doesn't waste our time if we trust him. He can use any type of work to help us accomplish his purposes.
That is an awesome story. And I bet the people at Kmart liked him as well.
They did. Yeah. They did. He had great friends there. It was sad when he actually left.
Well, let's, Dr. Linda, end the show today with a final characteristic that Christ modeled throughout his time on earth. And that is humility.
Humility is endearing, and genuine humility is very, very appealing to other people. The issue is, how do you attain it without being false or fake? So all of us have known someone who fakes humility. You know, I couldn't have all those hits or those home runs without my hitting coach and his advice. And they're really actually saying it as a way of generating even more compliments for their achievement or their actions. So this fake humility is transparent to most people, and it communicates more insecurity than it does humility.
I have always said, I think false humility is actually worse than just simply being obnoxious about who you are. One way to be more humble is to not get too excited by your own accomplishments. And we used to say, don't believe your own press.
Yeah, I think that's a really good saying. It reminds me of a story. In 1985, the great pitcher Tom Seaver was on the verge of winning the 300th game, which few pitchers at that time had done. Mm. He went over to his 9-year-old daughter in the box seats, and he excitedly said, "Hey, 3 more outs to go." And she looked at him, and she goes, "Good. Then can we go home and go swimming?" It kind of puts it in perspective,
yes.
Doesn't it? It was a good reminder for him to keep his success in perspective. And I think kids have a way of keeping us humble.
They do. They definitely do.
Well, humility is a virtue we can grow into. So don't be despairing if you're thinking, that's an area I need to work on again. 3 times in Romans 11, Paul warns against pride. He mentions it indirectly when he says, give preference to no one, honor other people. And directly when he says, do not be haughty in mind. Paul was concerned that his readers would grow in humility.
Well, then let's talk about a few specific ways to grow in humility.
We can. So stop comparing ourselves to other coworkers. Who cares what they are doing? Instead, focus on your own path and how you're doing, especially when it comes to the biblical directive of putting others before yourself.
Another way to grow in humility is to acknowledge your own faults. And there's always someone better or someone who has more skills than you, so don't get an elevated view of yourself. A humble person also defers to others.
Andrew Murray calls humility the place of entire dependence on God. He adds, humility is not so much a grace or a virtue along with others, it is the root of all, because it alone takes the right attitude before God and allows Him as God to do all. It is simply the sense of entire nothingness, which comes when we see how truly God is all and in which we make way for God to be all. So as we close our time together, let's see what we can do to be more likable at our workplace. But let's really concentrate on that last characteristic of humility. Humility requires a servant heart, and it honors God in all we do. It should be no surprise to any of us that when we allow God to transform us, when we renew our mind daily with His Word, we become His representative of His love. That alone will cause others to want to engage with us. Jesus said, "They will know us by our love." At the workplace, do they know you by your love? Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.